Only a year ago, it was an absolute no-brainer. Do you want to travel to the US? Yes, of course. And why wouldn't you? This is one of the greatest destinations on the planet, a place of culture and history, of amazing diversity of climates, landscapes, and even people. A place where you always feel welcome and are constantly amazed. The US is the neon lights of Vegas and the blue skies of Montana. It's the bustle of New York City and the peace of the Rockies. At least, it was. Because in November 2016, the world changed the way it looks at the United States of America. The country still had all of those great attributes, but it also had a new president, Donald J. Trump. He was a leader who talked of building walls on borders, of halting immigration, of banning travelers from certain countries. He's since picked fights with North Korea and seemingly divided his own nation. For some travelers, it was too much. There's been talk of boycotts, of never visiting while Trump holds power. Interest among travelers in visiting the states has dipped. But are we overreacting? Is there really any problem here? Can travelers just go about their business and enjoy the US in the same way they always have? Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. Today we're talking about the land of the free, the home of the brave. We're talking about burgers and fries, jazz and rock and roll, about New York, Chicago, San Francisco and LA. We're talking about travelling in the United States of America, the good, the bad and the ugly. Should you still go? If so, where should you go? Has anything there really changed under President Trump, or is this the same place we've always known and loved? Joining me to discuss this today are two travellers who will no doubt offer some interesting perspectives on this amazing land. First up, she's a writer for traveller.com.au who had her most eye-opening American travel experience in the state of Tennessee, Uta Yunker.
Hi.
Hi, Uta. Great to have you on board. Also joining us, she's a journalist and writer who has just returned from a two-year stint living in New York City, Shelley Hepworth.
Hi there.
Hey, Shelley. Thanks a lot for coming along, guys. Now, Shelley, you lived in the States for 2 years. What drew you to move there?
I actually moved over there to study for my master's at Columbia.
Right, okay. Yeah. And why there?
I guess I'd always wanted to live in New York City. So just the opportunity to go back and study again, I think once I realized that that was an option and I might be able to make it happen, it kind of, I definitely wanted to go.
What is it about New York City? Because, New Yorkers like to think of themselves as the center of the universe and you kind of have a bit of scorn for that. And then you get there and you think to yourself, this does actually feel like the center of the universe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like there's such a large population. The city is just really vibrant and alive. The diversity there, the amount of options for going out and enjoying life there.
How about for you, Uta? You've travelled to the US a lot of times. What keeps you going back?
I think the diversity, as you said, it's the energy, and it's a place where you can go to so many. I'm not going to use the word iconic. I'm not. But it's interesting how
that was
much
quite a Trumpian, I'm not going to say.
Don't you use nasty words to me. It's a place that so many of our mental landscapes are actually from America. And you can argue that that's bad, but it's whether you're walking down Madison Avenue or, hiking around Lake Tahoe or the Grand Canyon or wherever. There's a magic to those places because they're familiar, and yet when you get there, they're different.
Yeah, I mean, they're instantly recognisable, a lot of these places. You walk down the street in New York or LA and you feel like you've been there 100 times because it's every single movie, really, isn't it?
Exactly, and even just in some nowhere town or some nowhere suburb of a nowhere town, you look at these big houses and you go, I know these houses, they're from, insert favourite TV show here.
Yeah, I feel like the first time we went to New York, I felt like I was living in Seinfeld's set, walking around going, oh, that's from that episode.
Yeah. And I think we tend to frown on Americans, I suppose, for being so insular in a way. And, a lot of Americans don't even have a passport and they spend so much time traveling in their own country. But it's also kind of understandable because there's so much diversity there. There's so many different cultures and different places and, these amazing landscapes, but also these amazing cities. And you could just travel there your whole life.
Probably the first trip I did to the States, I actually did a road trip from New York to LA down through the South. And it was fascinating because you go, yeah, the US is a big country. It's about the same size as Australia. But the diversity of cultures and microcultures that are packed in there, and like every day you're encountering a different way of life and a different accent, often different food, different mentalities. And that makes it really, really exciting, I think. And you understand why Americans are so insular, because there is a lot to see. And I always find it funny that the Americans and Chinese on the whole really dislike each other because They're so similar. America and China are the only two places. Usually as a travel writer, you go to a country, if you mention you're a travel writer, people go, oh, which countries have you been to? In the States, they go, oh, which states have you been
right,
to? And
yeah.
the same thing in China. They're like, which parts of China have you been to?
Yeah, I always find it interesting that when Americans introduce themselves as well, when they're traveling overseas, they say, oh, I'm from California. You're like, right, okay, but I could say I'm from New South Wales and no one's going to understand what I'm talking
about.
Yeah, and
because really what's the difference between New South Wales and Queensland apart from a bit of
right,
weather?
Particularly on a world scale. Whereas yeah. for the US, everyone knows what California is. Everyone knows what Louisiana is and Texas and
exactly.
all those places. It's so famous. Shelley, you've just come back from living over there. Did you notice much of a change in the country when Trump was elected and inaugurated?
I guess I arrived in August 2015, so it after Trump had already announced. So I guess I was there right at the beginning when all the sort of Trump coverage was starting.
Amazing time to be there.
Yeah, it was. It was an extremely interesting time to be there. The reaction to the election, I felt very intensely in New York. I guess it's quite a liberal stronghold there, so mm-hmm. the way people reacted to the election felt very visceral. And I guess it wasn't a joyful experience for most of the people in New York. So I noticed that, and obviously there was protests afterwards and things like that. So there was definitely a change. But in the day-to-day, I guess, I didn't notice that much difference.
Yeah. Did you think it could, you know, this new power that we have, is it going to change the way Americans treat people coming into their country? Do you think... is it going to make people friendlier in a way and more welcoming to sort of demonstrate that they don't want to be known as this insular country?
Yeah, I think definitely for some people it's going to be like that. And especially you saw that within the protests after the travel ban. I mean, a lot of that was about showing support for people that were affected by the travel ban and showing people that they were still welcome in the US.
Yeah. Uta, do you think people from overseas, do you think their attitude towards travel in the US has changed?
Well, mine has. And yeah. so I assume everyone yeah. else's has too. No, I mean, I think we saw the numbers in those first couple of months after Trump came in. The arrivals of overseas visitors actually dipped markedly. And I know I was heading over there in February to go to a work thing in New York. And usually if I go to New York, I go somewhere else as well. And I was, you know, the election happened. And I was like, nah. I'm not going, I don't want to hang out with those people, you know. And then, of course, when I got to New York, the first thing I saw was an anti-Trump protest. So it was like, it's not as different as you think. But it leaves a funny taste in your mouth. You know, you think, do I really want to support this? And even though I don't like travel bans, but it is a visceral reaction.
I think for the first time I can remember, you can't think about the US at all without thinking about politics now. It's just become such a big part of our consciousness. You know, America is Trump. It is make America great again. It's protests.
When, of course, we know it's not.
Right,
know?
Exactly. The, yeah, it's unfair to the country.
Less than half the population actually voted for him. And we see the protests and we see, you know, the late night talk show hosts and the Saturday Night Lives. And all of that is as much America as Trump is.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I sort of don't like this idea of, oh, we're not going to go there, because it's too simplistic. You know, it's just reacting to the biggest thing. And it's like, well, hold up. What, you know, if everyone just stayed home and said, we're not going to America anymore, what would happen? America would become even more insular.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's what we're after.
I guess there's also another side of it, because I kind of had the reaction of wanting to travel around America a little bit, just because I kind of wanted to understand what was happening in the country. I guess we sort of see this wave of populism sort of in other countries as well. So it's kind of also interesting just to understand what people's views are and why it's so polarized and
yeah.
what's created that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you see all these images on the news and you think that's what the US is. But I went on a ski trip in January to Beaver Creek in Colorado, which is this ridiculously, you know, exclusive ski resort. And, you know, you wouldn't know that politics even existed when you're there. It's just this sort of cloistered little area where people go out skiing during the day and, you know, drink their hot chocolates at night. And there's no mention of politics and it just doesn't even exist in
yeah.
their world. And, you know, that's a fairly extreme example, but there are plenty of other places in the US where this is just not something that you have to be thinking about day in, day out.
But I also think part of the thing about travel for me is it's trying to get out there and see all those people who live different lives and have different opinions. And part of some of my most interesting experiences in the States have been sort of down in the South around the Bible Belt, which is when you look at the headlines coming out, it's the heartland of racism and gun culture and all these things that we go, no, thank you, then we don't like that. But when you go there, you know what? The people are lovely.
Yeah. You know, that's what, I mean, I found that as well, yeah.
And it's you also get insights into things. Like, obviously, I think gun culture is abhorrent, and I sit there and go, just ban guns. It's a no-brainer, right? But you go through Tennessee, and you just see in some small towns, literally two-thirds of people are walking around with a gun. And it's not a thing. It's not a statement. It's just, well, I'm going out. I'm taking my gun with me. And when you start to look on it as an accessory, you kind of go, oh, well, hang on. Yeah, because if I were walking out and someone said, we're going to stop you from taking your handbag out with you unless you have a license, I'd be going, no, you're not taking my handbag off me.
I have a right to my handbag.
So it's not necessarily, I mean, I still think gun culture is stupid and you should ban it, but it's like, okay, they're coming at it from a different point of view and you got to respect that.
Yeah, and it does make it a fascinating place to travel to. I mean, you know, countries that are very different to ours make amazing travel destinations. And maybe you don't think of the US as being like that, but parts of it are.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing to sort of stress is that there aren't people walking around with guns on their hips in every single state. There are states that are called carry states where you can openly carry a firearm. And I think Tennessee is one of those. Mm-hmm. And Nevada is one of those as well. I went to a karaoke bar in Nevada and there were all these cowboys there with guns on their hips. And
you were kind of singing, yeah, I better sing in tune.
That's or else right. Well, I'm certainly not going to say anything about their singing skills, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's funny because now that you mention it, I guess I didn't travel to an open carry state while I was there because I actually didn't notice that at all. So
I mean, somewhere like New York City, you would never even think about that at all, would you? You don't see guns around unless they're being carried by policemen.
Yeah, totally.
Which is really as it should be. What do you guys think about the idea of boycotts? Because when Trump was elected, a few people that I'm friends with on Facebook, that great echo chamber, were all saying, you know, I'm never going to the States while he's in power. And, you know, people had very strong opinions about it. Do you guys think is that helpful at all?
I guess I hadn't considered the idea of a boycott. I don't know if it is helpful. I don't know if Trump's going to get that message. Right. You know, I don't know if that message is going to get to anyone where...
I mean, the way I feel, boycotts punish the wrong people. You know? It's just the people who are running tourism organisations and, you know, cafes and hotels. They're the ones who are being punished.
Yeah.
And you also don't get to interact with these people that maybe could benefit from an outside point of view.
And I also think it's self-indulgent and judgmental in the sense that you are deciding this is the only issue that matters. And this is the one. I mean, there are lots of reasons. If you want to not go to the States, there are lots of reasons. From the racism, from, you know, police killing black people, all kinds of arguments you could go for. But equally, there's all kinds of arguments you could have for not going to China. There's all kinds of arguments you can have for not going to Turkey. There is not a single country, including Australia, that you couldn't mount a convincing argument not to go to. You know, you could say to Australia, well, you know, look, their Indigenous people live horrible lives and they need to have a strange survey to get gay marriage happening or maybe not. Right. And it's like, why would we want to travel to that place and give them our money? It's like, there's actually nowhere that's immune to it. So.
And there are, you know, far worse countries in terms of their ruling regime that Australians quite happily travel to and never even consider a boycott. It's maybe a little bit of fashion to...
It's a bit of a trendy thing. It's a bit like liking a tweet or something, I think. It's a bit of sort of mindless crowd following.
Yeah. Do you think somewhere like Canada would have benefited in a tourism sense from people thinking twice about going to the US?
Maybe it has.
I've got shiny, happy Justin Trudeau there.
Yeah, totally. Well, I guess, there's definitely Americans that talked about how they're going to move to Canada if Trump was elected, and I think some of them did follow through with that. So, but I don't know if it was in significant numbers.
Yeah. So, guys, now we're going to have a special guest join us for a little while who's in New York City, where he's been living for the last 4 years. It's traveller.com.au writer Lance Richardson. Lance, thanks for joining us.
No worries.
So what's the feeling like on the ground there in the US at the moment? I guess it's changing kind of day by day, is it?
Well, it is. I feel like I should clarify straight up that there used to be a famous sign above the Lincoln Tunnel that said, remember, if you leave Manhattan, you have to go back to America. And I sort of, I live in Manhattan, which in some ways is different to the rest of America and kind of its own thing, for better and worse. So there's kind of the feeling on the ground in Manhattan and there's the feeling on the ground in maybe other parts of America. And it's kind of hard to generalize, but
of course,
certainly in New York, Despair, I guess, is the word I would use.
Right.
There's a lot of despair. There's a giant rally that's you know, happening all the time, really, around you know, Trump Tower is kind of seems to be a permanent rally going on there. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, anger and.
Do you think that's affected the travel experience for people coming over to visit New York?
Well, I think it certainly has affected the way that Americans interact with people from other parts of the world, and again, when I say Americans, I mean New Yorkers. Yeah, absolutely. And so earlier today I crossed back into America from Canada, actually. Mm-hmm. I came overland. I was in Montreal, and you know, just at the border, just kind of, I don't know if it was just me projecting onto that experience, but I was much more tense than I usually am coming back in.
Right. Is politics something every traveler would be conscious of when they're traveling in the States now?
Well, unfortunately, it would kind of depend on who the traveler is and what their ethnic origin is. And you know, it's so awful to be having to say those sorts of things these days, but I think that is a real consideration at the moment. It's so pervasive here, and you know, the media is so saturated in what's happening right now that it's very hard to escape it. And I think it's something that most travelers who came to America is kind of, they're interested, right? You kind of want to know what's happening in the place that you're going to. So, you know, everyone's willing to talk about it, and you know, maybe they have different opinions to the opinions that you hold, but I think that no one's sort of holding back. Everyone wants to talk about it all of the time here.
Right. So it's okay for travelers to get involved in conversations like that?
Yeah, totally. And you know what? Like, I went on a trip a little while ago. I went on the Grand Canyon. I sort of floated down the Grand Canyon, and I found myself on a raft with a bunch of guys from Texas who were, you know, very staunchly Trump supporters. And I'm stuck on a raft with these guys for 8 days. And you'd be surprised at how much you have in common with people who you might think that you just have nothing in common with because they have such different political views to you. So absolutely. I mean, ask, you know, come here and talk to people and ask them. And even if you don't necessarily agree with what they're saying, I think it's always really instructive to listen.
Do you think there are some parts of the US that have changed more than others in the last 6 months?
I would say there's certain cities right now that are kind of seeming a little more alarming to be in than other places. You know, there's the whole thing of sanctuary cities, which, you know, the less alarming places, but these cities that have become sort of havens for, you know, the liberal left and, you know, I guess people who are undocumented and things, because these cities have come out and said that they will not prosecute these people. So these cities are changing and kind of trying to separate themselves off from maybe some of the red heartland, the sort of the Trump country.
Right.
But in terms of, like, you know, are there places that have become really hostile to travel to? I don't think so. And I don't think, you know, that even if someone is you know, really pro-Trump, I mean, obviously you've got the kind of very, very extreme people who are quite scary, and we're seeing them on the news all the time. But most people are really lovely. Even people, as I said, on this raft that I was on, who I don't agree with, you know, they're good people. They just have different views.
Okay, well, Lance, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate having you on board. This podcast is brought to you by Intrepid Travel. Intrepid offers over 50 jaw-dropping trips in the United States, like camping with the Navajo in Monument Valley, walking the wildflower trails of Zion, hiking in Jasper's Valley of Five Lakes, and kayaking among humpback whales and glaciers in Alaska. With a local leader guiding the way, pointing out epic landscapes and pop culture icons, it's sure to be an unforgettable ride. Join us at intrepidtravel.com. Shelley, you travelled around the US a bit after Trump was elected.
Yeah.
Did you notice any difference? Really?
No, I just did a road trip in New Mexico a few weeks before I left. I mean, politics didn't really come up as you're travelling around and talking to people. It's not something that you chat about with strangers often. So right. it wasn't something that I noticed. And I had a fantastic time on that road trip. So right. I don't know if I would... Yeah, I don't think politics really came into it yeah. in that sense.
What made you want to go to New Mexico? Breaking Bad?
Yeah, that was one appeal. No, I had a couple of friends who were coming over to visit me, and they're both artists. So Santa Fe has quite a strong gallery scene over there. Yeah. And there's a lot of... We wanted to go camping, so mm-hmm. there were some really interesting spots for camping in New Mexico that I didn't even know about before I started researching
it. I think that's the amazing thing about the U.S., yeah. isn't it? Like, we know already about so many places there, and yeah. yet there are... You know, I wouldn't even think to go to New Mexico. And...
Well, I was surprised. After I did it, I was saying to everyone, I was like, why aren't I hearing about New Mexico as this place that I must go to in the U.S.? I just never hear about it. But now I'm telling everybody, you have to go to New Mexico. It was yeah. awesome. Yeah,
and
yeah.
they've got the Carlsbad Caverns and all these yeah. great caves. But that's the thing that I found when we did our cross-country road trip, sort of we plotted a route in that, oh, well, I want to go to that city now, I want to go there and there. So we had a yeah. rough route. And then you got your books out and you start reading and it's like, well, that area that we're driving through in a day, we could spend 4 days there because there's so many things to see.
Yeah.
It's just so packed with stuff. So really, you could probably throw a dart at anywhere on the map of the US except possibly North Dakota and come up with somewhere really interesting to visit.
I was just about to say North Dakota as well. Doesn't it bill itself as being like, you know, mark off your 50th state? This is the last one you come to. Poor North Dakota. But no, what I was going to ask was, Udo, I was going to say, you know, regardless of what's happening with politics, I think you can always rely on Americans to be super friendly and hospitable.
Super friendly. And the other thing is, and it touches on something you said, that they have mastered the art of small talk. An American will never raise politics with you or religion. They just won't. But they can talk to you for 3 hours about other stuff.
and they're genuinely interested as well. Yeah. They love meeting strangers. And
oh, we had this hilarious...
Particularly if you've got an accent.
Oh, we had this hilarious encounter with a woman somewhere in the Bible Belt, in the cafe, in the diner. And she came out and, you know, she wiped our tail and she said, so where are your girls from? And, you know, we told her and she asked her a couple of questions and then she said, went back to the kitchen and then she came out and she said, so, and she had more questions. And this continued. She must have wiped our table 8 times because clearly she was feeding it back to the guys in the kitchen right. who just wanted to know more about the weird Australians, you know. So... amazingly warm, yeah. amazingly friendly.
And Shelley, I think you found that in New York as well, didn't you? This, New Yorkers are supposed to be so...
Yeah, they always have a... But I've never found that. Even when I visited New York years ago, I always found New Yorkers really friendly. And I just love the way Americans will just, you know, start up a conversation with a stranger on the subway or in a line or on the street about
yeah,
anything.
I mean, try striking up a conversation on the tube in London. Yeah. You'll be shunned. But yeah, Americans, I just find them so nice and so friendly. And even, you know, their culture of service and just general hospitality is just amazing. It just makes the whole experience very easy, I find.
Very easy, although you can sometimes get caught out, or maybe it's just me, that, you know, people will just do something nice for me because they're nice people and go, oh, thank you. And then they're just standing there and going, yeah. Oh, you want money?
You want a tip?
Okay.
Yeah, or tipping. That's
yeah, that's a different thing.
And Shelley, have you found you've been tipping people since you got back to Australia because you're just in the habit?
I've become annoying with my friends because I'm going, do we tip here? How does this work again? I've forgotten. I've only been away for 2 years, but I'm like, I'm not sure. I've forgotten how it works.
Yeah. Are there any no-go zones in the US? Is there anywhere that... Is dangerous or anywhere that you guys would avoid?
Not for me. I guess there's certain areas where there's been a bit of unrest recently. There's been incidents of racism and discrimination and anti-Semitic incidents and things. Even in New York, that's been yep. happening. So, I mean, that's kind of low-key happening. But I don't know of any particular places that I would say because of that that you shouldn't travel to.
Yeah, I think Missouri, there's been some
there's
issues
been a travel there. Warning about, yeah, issued about Missouri for people of color because of, like, they're trying to change the laws about discrimination.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How about you, Uta? Is there anywhere you would avoid, or is everywhere pretty fine?
One of the things that I love about the States is how quickly a no-go zone reinvents itself. So, like, remember a couple of years, like, it was all about the death of Detroit and, you
right.
know, horrific that was. And suddenly it's really cool because all these cool people are doing cool things in these abandoned buildings.
Yeah.
And it's suddenly a really hip place to go back to. And that, to me, is quintessentially American.
Yeah. There's a sort of natural cycle, isn't there, where you go through a downtime and then all the artists and creatives come in and build it up into something that people want to visit again.
If you're a big city, yeah.
If you're a big city,
lots of mouldering small towns in the old Rust Belt, yeah.
Yeah.
But but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Shelley, did you see any of this American carnage? I think that was a terrible billboard for American tourism. But
no,
to me,
that's true.
I've never seen any American carnage.
No, I mean, I guess there's definitely towns in certain areas that might be suffering as a result of closures of factories and things like that. But yeah, I didn't travel to any of those areas. So, yeah.
What about Chicago? Chicago's starting to get a bad reputation.
Chicago, I just think, don't go there in winter from all accounts, but yep. Beautiful city, amazing architecture, really smart, interested, friendly people. You know, it's a bit like New York without the attitude. And I say that as someone who loves New York.
Yeah.
But it's a different... Chicago kind of sits there and kind of goes, yeah, that's New Yorkers. They think they're all that, but they're not really. You know?
I heard Chicago's got a really good food scene as well.
Fabulous food.
Great food, great jazz and blues bars as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, beautiful. It's got some lovely beaches.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Home of the Chicago Cubs, Wrigley Field as well. Amazing.
If you say so, Ben.
Amazing experience. For people who love sport, which I do, that is one of the sort of quintessential stadiums to visit. It's really old and, you know,
That was in the Blues Brothers film.
It was. You sit on wooden planks still and, you know, it's a very friendly atmosphere.
You're not winning me over. Crappy hot dogs.
It's right in the middle of the city. And so just outside of the park, you have these sort of apartment blocks and people set up stands on the roof of their apartment blocks. It's called Beyond the Ivy because there's ivy sort of lining the wall at the end of the stadium. And so people sort of look down into the stadium from there and they, you know, take their six pack of beer along. And it's just a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah, there's so much to enjoy.
Yeah. What are some of the highlights for you guys? Shelley, what about in your time? Where would you recommend people go?
Well, New Mexico. I love the road trip that we did in New Mexico. And particularly we went to this place called White Sands National Monument,
mm-hmm.
which is like this, just like these amazing white sand dunes just in the middle of the state. And you can go and camp there when they're not doing missile testing, which they also do there.
Right.
To call ahead and find out. Yeah. If they're not doing missile testing the next day, you can go and camp there. But it's just beautiful, stunning landscape. And you drive in, we drove in just as the sun was setting and you lug your camp gear in and kind of camp in the middle of these dunes and you don't see anyone else around you. And then kind of got up, saw the sunrise and then hiked back out again before it got too hot to walk on the sand.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was also surprised how much I loved DC.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I guess I was kind of thinking that it might be a little bit like Canberra. Before I went.
What are you saying about Canberra?
But when I got there, I just loved it. I was there in the summer and my friend and I arrived late in the afternoon and we ended up walking around all the monuments quite late at night and the weather was beautiful and Americans do monuments really well, I think. And
yeah.
I was really impressed by the Lincoln Memorial and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, as we were mentioning earlier, these are things that you've seen a million times in movies and TV shows, and to see them in the flesh is a bit of a buzz.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. How about you, Uta? Where are the big highlights for you?
Well, I think one of the things that's underrated about the States is the great outdoors, the national parks, spectacular scenery of all kinds, whether it's somewhere famous like Yellowstone or whether it's a lesser known place like Bryce Canyon or Antelope Canyon. There are these amazing landscapes that are just like nothing else you've seen. And, you know, they are protected and they're preserved and they're there for everyone. And, you know, I can get a bit teary about how wonderful national parks are.
I mean, they invented national parks in the US, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First national park in the world. We had the second one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And they're still there. And, you know, you can see wolves and you can see coyotes and bears. And, you know, you can go clambering over amazing monolithic things. And
yeah, I think Utah in particular deserves a mention. There are so many amazing national parks in
Utah. Utah and Arizona, that little
Arches National Park and Canyonlands, and these really amazing rock formations and, you know, things that you've
Monument
again...
Monument Valley. You've seen in every Western you've ever seen.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. To be, and, you know, also Montana and Wyoming.
Yeah.
These, you know, big sky country. It's just...
Amazing place. So, Ben, what about your favourite places?
I've always loved Colorado and Utah. I lived in Colorado for about 6 months working a ski season there at a place called Winter Park and did a whole lot of road trips out to Utah. You know, you drive along the Colorado River, spectacular drive, and you get to Moab in Utah, which is this incredible place of these rock formations and mountain biking and rock climbing and all that sort of stuff and super friendly people. So I really love that. And I also actually really like Los Angeles. It gets a really bad rap, But and you know, when you first go and you don't know the places that you like, it can be a bit of a concrete jungle and fairly horrible. But I love Hollywood. I love that sort of faded glamour in a way. And I used to love kind of 80s heavy metal rock and roll. And the Sunset Strip is all about that. There's still, you know, old rock and rollers still hang out at the Rainbow Bar and Grill on the Strip. And it's kind of everyone's past it and they're still clinging on to this former glory. And I really love it for some reason. There's something really sort of romantic and interesting to me about that. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming along today and having a chat. Shelley and Uta, much appreciated.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Ben.
And if you would like to read any of our stories from Uta or me, you can find them on traveller.com.au. And to subscribe to Flight of Fancy, go to iTunes or your favourite podcasting app. We'll see you next time on Flight of Fancy.